Welcome to the 184th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Now I also do primary care because we have a plant-based nutrition practice, and we're really loving it. This week in our membership practice, we actually launched a yoga session. So the yoga sanctuary that is located in Punta Gorda offered to come to my office and conduct a yoga class for my members. So we had 12 people that started with chair yoga. So these are people that, for the most part, haven't done yoga or much yoga in their life. So this is a great introduction. And went really well. Everybody enjoyed it. It's a pleasant environment because it's the same environment where we have our nutrition classes. So we just took the tables down and we have a room in the back of the office. So it made it very comfortable for people that are used to coming there for a nutrition class. And a lot of people don't want to drive the extra 5 or 6 miles to get over to Punta Gorda to get to the yoga sanctuary from Port Charlotte, especially some of the older people. So it was nice to have them come over and provide us with a chair yoga class. So we're going to have 6 sessions and see how it goes. And with any luck, maybe we'll offer more yoga or start doing more advanced yoga with these people. So we'll see how the interest goes. But it was really good. As far as my training goes, Ironman is in the past. I am back swimming a little bit. Now that I had a little bit of a toe issue with had to amputate a toenail after that last marathon. So now that I can get back in the water, I've done a couple swim sessions and, we're back on the bike, at least on the weekends and, getting ready for the California International Marathon in Sacramento the first weekend in December. So back to running, start putting those long runs back in. I kind of do what's called a reverse taper. You know, when you're getting ready for a race, you taper down to low mileage. And so what I do is I just reverse that. I start with my low mileage and I just kind of come back up. There's not a whole lot of time between the Ironman and this next marathon. So it's a pretty quick reverse taper, but nevertheless, we'll do what we can. I'm still doing my weight workouts because I think that was very beneficial with the Ironman training. I recovered as far as, I had very little muscle soreness, even after a couple days of the Ironman. So I really do think that was beneficial. There's still some things I need to work on as far as flexibility and, in general, niggles that I get from running and doing all these things. So the weight training has really, really helped it. I've had issues with my back in the past. I guess most core instability type of things. So I'm doing a lot of work with the hex bar, deadlifts, squats, split squats. So my wonderful strength and conditioning coach, Nathan Meinrich, is trying to get me and keep me healthy for these upcoming races. So that's great. In addition to that, in class this month, we're having a push-up challenge. And I was stupid enough to take it to a different level. We're doing a push-up for each day of the month. So day one, 1 push-up. Day two, 2 push-ups. You know, you get the drill. So I decided that I would just combine and do day one and day two, day one and day two and day three. And so it is now the 20th of October, and that's a lot of push-ups. And I've had, it's what you call brought me to my knees. So from regular push-ups, then I go down to knee push-ups. And as this challenge progresses, it may bring me to the wall push-ups. I'm not sure, but I'm going to keep doing the numbers. It can only help, not hurt. The idea is to try to maintain good form. Even that's a little difficult when we're getting up to these big numbers. And most people wouldn't recommend doing the big numbers because you start to lose form. But I'm trying to do them as best that I can and spread them out as much as I can. So all through the day, I do a few push-ups here and there to get to my numbers. So maybe we'll take a break during this podcast so I can do some push-ups so we can get these things in and let me recover between them. But so that's great. And we have a private Facebook page with a website, and everybody posts the push-ups that they're doing. And it's great because, again, anybody can do a push-up. you just have to modify it. So it may be starting at the wall, you know, working your way down with angles. As long as your upper body is higher than your lower body, it becomes easier. If your lower body is higher than your upper body, then it will become harder. So I have to give kudos to my mother. She's been doing push-ups against the table, and she has quite good form. So if you're 85 and you can do push-ups, then I would challenge anybody to add some push-ups into their daily routine. Yesterday, my nurse Dawn and my good friend Linda Albert and I had a booth at the Charlotte County School District Health Fair to educate people on plant-based nutrition and tell them what our practice had to offer. But it was mainly to introduce people to plant-based nutrition. It is the third time that I've been to the health fair, and it was kind of funny. One person actually came up to the booth and said, "Oh, I've seen you here before." Stood 2 or 3 feet away from the table. Didn't want to get too close because we had samples before, and she's 0-for-3 for trying anything at our booth. So it was kind of funny. But she keeps, you know, they have to come back. The people, the employees have to get cards stamped to get credit for being there. So they have to come around to all the tables. And so they have to come and see us even if they don't want anything to do with plant-based nutrition. But it was interesting. We engaged several people in conversations. I think we sparked interest in several people. It's always a difficult situation, as many of you know that are plant-based, when you see people for the first time that don't know anything about plant-based nutrition, or like we talked about last week, the disconnect between health and what you eat. And I was happy to see that this year they said no candy, so that was good. I think they said no donuts too. I hope not, but I didn't see any donuts there this year. We brought a cowboy caviar, which is black beans and black-eyed peas and corn and peppers and onions and cilantro and lime juice to sample. And then we had some what we call carrot cake cookies that are sweetened only with pineapple, banana, their carrots and oats and cinnamon and vanilla. So a pretty basic cookie that tastes great. You know, basically, you could eat them with breakfast along with your fruit if you'd like. So it's a healthy alternative. So and a lot of people really liked the cowboy caviar and they liked the cookies. So it was a good choice. In the past, we've done some different salads that, you know, salads scare people away sometimes. So the beans were okay. We had a few people say they didn't like beans or the texture. A couple people didn't like onions. Some people don't like cilantro. But for the most part, people were willing to taste and they liked it. And some people came back around. Some people were pleasantly surprised. We had the usual, "I like my meat" comments, and, "I couldn't do this." We had one person from Wisconsin, that just, we just kept talking with. She really didn't want to do it, but she really did want to do it, as far as, learn more or perhaps be more plant-based and eat more vegetables. She knew that she should. She's tried a bunch of different ways of eating. It's not worked. She's yo-yoed, you know, the drill. But you know, being from Wisconsin, really liked cheese. And so was really struggling with it. And, you know, we gave her some alternatives. If you're from Wisconsin and you really like cheese, you know that there really aren't alternatives to Wisconsin cheese. So it really comes down to the point where you've got to just make the decision that this is not doing you any favors and really give it up. But nevertheless, she kind of kept circling around and we kept talking to her, and we had areas where people could sign up to get recipes and get our newsletter that we put out every month. And we do put out a monthly newsletter. If you're interested in getting any recipes that you hear on the podcast, drop me a line at info@drdelaney.com or just go on the website and sign up for the newsletter. It's even better. or sign up for the blog, and then you'll get a monthly newsletter or a monthly blog or a weekly blog post, whatever you'd like. But that's right there on the drdulaney.com website, and it's DocTorDulaney. So, you know, a lot of people signed up for the newsletter and wanted to get recipes. So, you know, if we can get our foot in the door with giving people a few recipes that they like, that they can make, that's all the better. Probably the most discouraging thing that you know, came by was a woman and her, I'd say probably 10-year-old son. Kids had the day off from school because of this health fair. And we offered him the cowboy caviar and a cookie. And she said he was a picky eater. He only liked junk food. And it came down to, what is your favorite junk food? And, you know, that's when his eyes lit up, that he was smiling when he thought of the junk food. And he even knew it was junk food. And they even called it junk food, you know, meaning, you know, McDonald's or fries or something. And we finally got him to pick up one of the cowboy caviar cups, and he wouldn't eat it. And he wouldn't eat the cookie, and he, you know, he made all kinds of faces. And it was unfortunate because, you know, mom also was making all kinds of faces. She didn't like onion. She didn't like this. She didn't like that. And, you know, so both of them were in trouble as far as their health already. And, you know, the disconnect was really, really there. And it's going to be a struggle for both of them. And I felt bad. In some respects, when I reflected upon the day, you know, we saw a lot of people come through. I think they had 175 to 200 people come through the booths. And, you know, we talked to everybody that came by. And the majority of people were not familiar with plant-based nutrition. The majority of people weren't big vegetable eaters. Somewhere. And it was an introduction. You know, it was still like a brand new thing being plant-based for the majority of people. So it was frustrating in that, you know, we didn't get a lot of people engaged. We got several people engaged, you know, a handful, maybe 10 out of all those that really seemed interested in learning more. We offered a free nutrition class because I do nutrition classes in the office. And if those Charlotte County employees want to come for a free nutrition class, we're going to set up a special class for them at no charge as for an introduction. So we'll see what we get, and then I'll report back to you of how many people. We gave them a ticket, and all they had to do was call the office with the ticket number, and we will, you know, we'll do a nutrition conference or a nutrition talk for them in the office and set that up for free. So we'll see how many actually call, and, you know, I'll report back to you. I hope I'm pleasantly surprised and I have to do numerous nutrition talks. I would be grateful to do that. But we'll see. Like I said, it was a little frustrating because it was so new for so many people, and we really had to start from the, you know, the very, very beginning. So you didn't get to give a lot of good, interesting information, but we had some people that had cancer. Being that it is Breast Cancer Month, we talked to several women about, you know, how they could use nutrition to decrease the risk of the cancer recurrence, you know, especially getting dairy out of the diet, getting animal protein out of the diet, increasing cruciferous vegetables, you know, adding some mustard or mustard powder to those cruciferous vegetables, you know, getting more fruit. We talked about carrot tops. You know, if you've ever eaten carrot tops, those greens actually have more anti-cancer properties. It's called anti-angiogenesis, where the carrot tops and carrots to some degree actually decrease blood vessel growth into tumors, so you can make a tabbouleh out of those. So we talked about some of those recipes that, you know, to engage some people, and that really worked. But it was a day long of starting from scratch, and as it was a little bit frustrating, in that, you know, it's like, well, there's, you know, just like anybody else that, you know, out there that have talked to friends and family about becoming plant-based, and you get repeated no's and it's not for me, and you get a little discouraged. I can only hope that as we go back there every year, that, you know, one or two more people will get the idea. Or again, like the other lady that saw us, she recognized us and she keeps hearing it. And if she keeps hearing it and you hear it from another source, there was a lady there that her daughter had just said something about veganism. So if people hear different sources, I'm a firm believer that the stars kind of align for people, that, you know, they may see forks over knives. They might have a friend that goes, that went plant-based, or they may run into it in the grocery store. You have to run into it in several different venues most times. You know, not everybody reads a book, or, you know, if you go after looking for it, it's one thing. But, you know, if you're just, you weren't looking for it and it comes upon you, I think you have to be hit with being plant-based by several different directions before you start to really think about it and it sink in. So I hope that if we do this, you know, every year, we spent the whole day there yesterday from 8 to 3, that, you know, eventually somebody will be affected, or will be the person that will be the third time or the fourth time that they hear something like that, and that they're more likely to, you know, to give it a try and hopefully be successful. So, you know, that's all you can do. Somebody has to introduce it somewhere. We saw some guys that were athletes. We talked about the Game Changers movie that's coming out. If anybody hasn't heard about that, then you can get online, The Game Changers by James Wilkes, and look at the trailer. And I'm not sure exactly when it's coming out. It will be soon. It's going to be a great movie for athletes so that they know that plant-based nutrition can actually help them to recover faster. And athletic performance can be actually enhanced by what you eat as opposed to decreased performance. So, look for that movie, and we suggested that to the people that looked athletic that came by. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, it was a good day. We had a good time, and I have a lot of cowboy caviar left over for lunch. So getting on with today's episode, I do have a guest. It's Dr. Laurie Marbus. Dr. Marbus is a family medicine physician who now lives in Washington State. She is a graduate of Texas Tech University. She started her career as a family medicine doctor in rural Colorado and has discovered plant-based nutrition through her patients. And I speak to her today, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about her journey and what she does to promote plant-based nutrition. So I think you'll enjoy that. So without further ado, here's Dr. Laurie Marbus. So I'd like to welcome Laurie Marbus today. Dr. Marbus is a family medicine doctor who is a plant strong advocate. She's recently launched the Healthy Human Revolution website. And I'd just like to talk to you. And she's also the managing editor of the International Journal of Disease Reversal and Prevention, which is a new launch as well. So, Laurie, I'd like to just kind of get your story. When did all this plant-based stuff start with you?
Thanks for having me. I appreciate your time. And, it started about 7 years ago when I was in Colorado. At that time, I was working as a regular family medicine in, you know, rural Colorado, doing hospital care and regular clinic care and everything. But I had a patient one day come in and say, you know, Dr. Morris, meat and dairy upset my stomach. And I said, well, stop eating meat and dairy. Now, mind you, I had grown up and eaten a regular, I wouldn't say a standard American diet, but certainly not a ideal plant-based diet. And instinct says, you know, you're going to have other foods to eat if you give up meat and dairy. And I said, we'll come back in 30 days and we'll just kind of do elimination, let the gut rest, and then we'll add things back and see how you do. And she did, and she came back in 30 days, and she felt better. What was intriguing was that she brought her daughter with her to the appointment. And her daughter at that time was 16, and she had been on ADD meds, or attention deficit disorder meds, for a few years. And during the 30 days that her mom was using was actually eating a plant-based diet, by the end of the conversation, you understand how that went. And she pulled herself off both of those medications in 30 days. And her mom was just not upset, but just in awe of what happened, and was kind of like probing me for questions, like, why was she able to do that? And I said, I don't know, but that's just so cool. I said, what were you eating? She was like, I wasn't eating meat or dairy, so that left me fruits and vegetables and whole grains and beans and nuts and seeds. And I was like, I drilled her a little bit for 20 minutes, and it just was like a slow, like, you know, those dimmer switches that come on in your house. That's kind of what happened. And so I was like, see, we're eating plants. And she goes, well, yeah. And I was like, I don't know, this is so cool. I said, well, you know, obviously keep doing what you're doing. And the monarchs ended up doing really well. And I Googled, and the first thing that I came across, which many people do, is a China study. And so I ordered it and read it, like, literally 2 days. And I was just like, you can turn cancer on and off? What? And that one of many aha moments. And then, of course, you see forks that were knives, and I started searching for ways of, like, how am I going to learn how to do this with patients? How am I going to bring my own family on board? And it took me about 2 weeks, and I was still, really just intrigued by the whole thing, doing research. But I had a lupus patient come in, and she was on 12 meds. She was about 50 pounds overweight, and she was telling me about these horrible migraines, and she just wasn't sure she was going to be able to keep working and all this stuff. And, well, what ended up happening was, I was like, you know, as she's sitting there talking, I was just thinking to myself, this is the patient I need to try this diet on. And I didn't know really, this is my first patient, I was actually, like, going to say I need you to eat plants only, and she seemed very receptive. And I said, do you mind being my guinea pig, and does this change what's on the end of your fork? And I said, I don't have any medications that are going to make you better. And I said, well, from what I'm reading, this may work, and at least make you feel better. And so we did, and we measured her CRP, which is an inflammatory marker, at the beginning of that day. She came back in 14 days, because I said, I can't wait more than, 14 days. 30 days is too long. And her CRP went from, 3 times high normal to just outside normal. I mean, barely peaking. Lost 8 pounds, feeling better. The headaches were better. You know, 5 months, if you fast forward, in her case, 5 months later, 50 pounds lighter, off of 7 to 12 meds, including her lupus meds. She'd been on methotrexate and high doses of prednisone, and went on to do very well. And so when she came back after that 2 weeks, I said, well, that's it. So I went home to 3 teenagers and my poor husband, and I said, we're done. And I threw everything out of the house, and we literally started our plant-based journey that day. And what was interesting was, I had a, you always hear about the grass-fed beef, and that's the healthy beef. And so I had a quarter of that in my freezer in my garage, and within 48 hours of making that decision, our freezer broke, and that meat needed to be disposed of. And I'll tell you, after seeing that carcass and the smells and everything, I never looked back. And, you know, cheese is a little harder. I missed it on days just for maybe 3 months or so, but after that, it's fine. But, you know, I never, ever, I didn't like walking down the meat aisle at this point, but my husband went on to lose 65 pounds. All three of my grown children are plant-based now. One's in medical school, two in college. One just launched his own plant-based podcast, wants to do his own plant-based company. And then my oldest, of course, Emily, she's getting married in January, and he's, Beyonce's also a medical student, plant-based. So we got a little Marvis dynasty here, plant-based stuff going on. So, but yeah, it's what's all happened in 7 years. It's been an incredible journey that I'm blessed and thankful for.
You know, I never get tired of hearing the stories. And, you know, and physician after physician that you speak with, it happens this way more often than not. You know, we get hit on the head either with a patient, or, you know, you stumble upon forks over knives or something. And, you know, yeah, with trepidation, you try it on a patient, you know, here, give this a shot. You know, I had a patient, a similar type story. She had amyloidosis and had tried all kinds of chemotherapy drugs and was kind of at the end of the rope. And it's like, what do you got to lose? And, you know, she did really well. And, you know, it, you know, but you're afraid at first, because it's nothing that we learned in medical school. And then all of a sudden you're on a crash course to learn a new subject. And mm-hmm. it's, you know, to me, it was practice invigorating. You know, I was kind of tired of the old traditional cardiology, you know, give this for blood pressure, give this for cholesterol, give this for whatever, you know. And then now all of a sudden, you know, you have to figure out what vegetables do. And so it was great. So you were working in Colorado as a family medicine doctor and as part of a group at that time?
Yes, I was at a small rural hospital. It was basically a hospital in a place that, you know, it's one of those ones that, you know, there's the nearest, in western side of Colorado, so it wasn't near Denver, it wasn't, you know, 45 minutes or an hour away from Grand Junction, which is the next largest city. So we're one of those hospitals where there's no pediatric ICU on the entire west side. You know, if you had a sick kid that came in that you were putting in, or someone, you know, like a, got to give them to an ICU, you have to fly them away. So, yeah, it was one of those places, about 10,000 to 12,000 people. So, yeah, that's where I started. And it's named Rifle, of all places and names.
And did you try to then implement, you know, you know, as it goes, now that every patient you see, you try to say, hey, you know, you should do this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So it took me about a year to really refine it. I used it on every single patient that I could, you know, that I felt that had a disease process that would be responsive and open to my kind of stumbling message. And I was really surprised at how receptive patients were. You know, a lot of physicians will say, oh, well, nobody's going to do that. You know, why would I even bother? Well, yeah, actually they will. And I feel it's malpractice not to share that information because you could literally change someone's life. And so what happened was I found John McDougall's website, and he had a lot of information actually for physicians. So it was a great starting point for me. You know, it didn't take me long to figure out that when I said eat plants, you know, people just ate fruits and vegetables, and they left out the beans and whole grains and, you know, the starchy vegetables. And I was like, no, you've got to add that back in because they were tired, you know, and then, you know, or different things on, oh, wow, what do I do with an insulin diabetic? You know, how do I cut that in half? Quickly, the first day, is what I learned very quickly. I had one patient come off insulin in 3 days. It was like, holy moly. And he was on like 60 units. And it was just such an overwhelming and positive experience. And very surprised at how many people actually took it on in this little, you know, western Colorado town where there's ranchers and hunters. And I ended up doing a small study at the hospital and convinced the CEO to pay for it and the food. And I connected with some other physicians who are like-minded, about two of us doing the entire western side of the state, and eventually three, and a chef that was in Aspen. You know, Aspen was only about 80 miles from where we were, and so we did some cool stuff, and just it kind of grew from there. Did a lifestyle medicine clinic after hours, and then when I changed jobs, I went to Grand Junction, and did all sorts of stuff, and then I ended up in Florida working with Dr. Furman for a bit, and now I'm back in Washington State and doing telemedicine, but now I'm also, like you mentioned, the journal has been launched by the Constitution Project, and I'm blessed to work with Kim Williams, Dr. Kim Williams, regularly. He's our editor-in-chief, and Dr. Scott Stoll, of course, from the Constitution Project, and I tell you, I get to hang out with some really cool people now, so it's pretty awesome.
And so most of your traditional medicine now is done doctors on demand?
It is. And that's been really fun. It's such an experience to see one patient in California and 15 minutes later you're talking to someone in Florida. And so I have 13 medical licenses. So what another interesting thing is the folks from Mastering Diabetes, Cyrus and Robbie, they interviewed me for their webinar that they have, and we were speaking about doctors on demand, and they shared that with their audience. And I've had many, actually several patients refer to me by that podcast. And so that's been really fun too. So that come people who already kind of want the idea, but I have plenty of people who were calling in for cellulitis, and before you know it, we got them on a plant-based diet and their diabetes is getting better. Or I had one that I actually interviewed on my own podcast, and she reversed her, you know, blood pressure she'd had for 20 years on 2 or 3 meds at one time in 27 days. And it's just been quite the journey, and it's a lot of fun. So I've been doing that for about a year because it's mobile, which I enjoy.
So sure. Can people talk to you, they can ask for you when they do Doctors on Demand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. As long as they're in, they have to be physically in the state that I'm licensed in. So that's Washington, but I have to go through the geographic in Illinois here. But Washington, California, North Carolina, Arkansas, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Colorado, Georgia, Florida, New York, Ohio, Texas, and Virginia. There you go.
Mm-hmm. So, but they people that they can actually ask for you if they're plant based,
yep.
so to speak.
Yep. And then they can just set up an appointment. And there you go.
And then on follow up. So, do you have patients that you follow on a regular basis, or they mm-hmm. have to call in and ask mm-hmm. for you?
No. They can actually set up an appointment. So, yeah, once we get situated, we set up the following appointment while we're actually there. So I'll send them a request saying, okay, we're going to follow up in a week, and they set the date and time up for about a week out, and they follow up with me, and I can order labs, I can order medications. It's a video platform, so it's a HIPAA-compliant doctor demand platform, and so it's fabulous for someone who wants to do lifestyle medicine like I do.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, it's hard to make it work in a lot of ways. Otherwise, especially if you're in a group practice and mm-hmm. traditional family medicine would not give you the opportunity to spend that much time with people.
Right, and that was the other thing that I ran up against was the time constraint. And there's a little bit here, but once you get someone introduced, that's not such a big deal because, you know, follow-ups are usually about 15 minutes. The first one, depending on how well versed and the questions that you get, can go a little bit longer. But overall, you know, I figured out ways to make it work in regular family medicine as well. I would scour my incoming day's appointments in the morning, and I would highlight, you know, 7 or 8 patients that maybe I hadn't seen, but I knew that they had high blood pressure, diabetes, they were always looking to lose weight. And I had a 30-page handout that I created at this point by the end of the year. And I printed out and I had it ready for them. So when I walked in that room, I was armed. So, and like, guess what we're going to talk about? And I had a highlighter and I said, these are the things you're going to start on. And I think that's where I was successful because I was prepared in advance. And I came up with a quick spiel and I got really excited with patients. And I don't think they don't see enthusiasm from traditional family medicine or internal med docs. You know, when I get excited at the potential of them reversing disease or dramatically improving it without meds, there it's like, well, I want a piece of that. And I think that's the advantage. So.
Yeah, very much so. And then when you mm-hmm. were with Dr. Furman, was that with his immersion programs?
No. Furman had opened or was in the process of opening a live-in facility, which he just opened another one in California. We had private investors. And he had called me the summer of, I guess, 2016. Boy, time flies. Yeah, and I ended up moving down there. My husband stayed here and I moved halfway through my son's, almost halfway through my son's, my last born senior year in high school. So we had a lot of family discussions about that. Mm-hmm. We felt it was such an opportunity and I just couldn't pass up. And so I moved to Boca Raton and we started and we were open for about 6 months when our investors pulled out and the clinic closed. So I had to search for a new job and still very good friends with Dr. Furman and excited. I've seen his facility in San Diego, which is phenomenal. And it was a really cool thing to learn a ton and be in an environment where everyone is plant-based and the whole idea was to bring people in. And I mean, we had 50 people come through and I'm still in touch with most of them. And it's just, oh man, it's just incredible. For sure.
And how about in Washington State where you are at this point locally?
Yeah, you know, so I've been doing Doc on Demand since we moved here in January, and so I really haven't stepped outside of my online role because I've launched the Healthy Human Revolution with Anthony Marcello and Jason Cohen, and I just haven't had the time, honestly, between the journal and my full-time job and now launching this, and I do some consulting work for another company I used to work for. I and my daughter's getting married. I honestly there's not much time left in my day.
And you're a runner as well, correct?
I do run every day. I love it.
Yeah,
I've been running for many years. And I know you do triathlons, right?
Yeah, I run and, yeah, do triathlons. So that's my stress reliever. So I would guess that's your stress reducer as well, perhaps?
It is. We need that, don't we?
Yes, it's, I'm a lot easier to be around in the office when I find my run in the morning. Yeah, that's for sure. That's fabulous. And you know, you're doing the journal is, when is the first publication coming out?
End of March, and we're already receiving subscriptions. We just launched, it was at the Plantation Project, so mid-September, and when we announced it, it was an interesting thing. We literally, the idea was conceived between Dan Purgis and Dr. Scott Stoll, and then they asked me to join in last December, right around Christmas time, and so we literally like, well, how do we launch a journal? I'm like, we don't know. So I set out to investigate, and we approached five different commercial publishers, thinking that was the way we would want to go. And what ended up happening is Wiley courted us for a bit, and they just stopped communicating with us, which is really strange. And the other four said, you want to be an open access journal and not charge your authors anything to submit their articles and on plants, no money. So they're like, I'm sorry, it's not part of our business plan to not make money, is what they're saying. And so what we did was like, fine, we'll self-publish. And we're working with a company, or it's not really a company, it's a program in Simon Fraser University in Vancouver, BC. And they have the Canadian Institute of Self-Publishing. And we're working with them, and they have an open journal system software. So the big deal is to have software that you can manage, one, the from beginning to end, right? So we have someone submits an article, we can review it, you know, like Dr. Williams will look at it, and then when he's like, yeah, this is good, I'll assign it to our reviewers, which we have over 60 so far, which is amazing. And then we move forward from there, and, you know, we do any type of manuscript changes that need to occur, language or whatever, and then publication. So that all occurs in one system, and this Open Journal System free software. There's over 10,000 journals on it around the world, and some are medical and other academic, you know, different philosophy and psychology journals or engineering and so it's been really amazing. They're phenomenal people to work with. So they kind of help me. I'm not technical. I'm not a computer programmer. Got my hands deep enough as it is and other stuff. And I didn't want to take that on as well. I didn't think I would do it well. And they do. They will take that and they take care of the layout and the design and everything and will publish that for us. So we're working with them. And we're also publishing a digest, which is the Disease Reversal and Prevention Digest, which is going to be a companion journal that will cost, it won't be much. It'll be less than $30 a year, and it'll be published in along with the journal. We take the information we publish and some a lot more other information, like I'm doing interviews and some things, and I have some people helping me, where we'll publish things for the layperson and translate that science for them so they can understand the truth about it. And we're not, you know, we're not going to exaggerate or anything. We want people to understand the truth that, yes, okay, so you hear about this, butter is back, but why is butter? Why would someone say that? And what are they misrepresenting? So I think it's super important. It'll be a really interesting journey to see how that grows. And our hope is eventually to be on PubMed, but it takes about 2 years in order to do that. There's some application, you know, things we have to check off before we can do that, but it's a little baby, but the baby's born and it seems to be getting ready to crawl, so it's exciting.
Very good. That sounds like a full-time job in and of itself.
Yeah, pretty much.
So as a physician, what would be your advice to other family medicine physicians, you know, now that you know what you know, you know, what do you, how do you, you know, obviously you can't look back, you know, the nutritionist medicine plays a huge role. So what's your advice to other family physicians?
I think if someone is already plant-based and wanting to bring this into their practice, is just start. And, you know, I would go to the Plant Nutrition Project's website, and they have phenomenal resources that were not accessible to me, you know, 7 years ago when I started this. I wish they would have, I would have had that boy. They had that quick start guide you can download for free. And, you know, start coming to the conferences and networking with people. I mean, those are, my husband, he always like, it's like you're going home to your tribe. I was like, yes, I am. So it's such a different experience than going, you know, to regular family medicine conferences because it's just not the same. And I hear what they're teaching at these other conferences and I'm like, this is just not the truth. You know, it's just a matter of getting started. Don't be afraid, and patients will be receptive, and they're going to be thankful. Actually, I have more comments from patients going, thank you for taking the time to share that with me. That alone means a lot, and they'll develop a trust like you've never had with patients. That's been my experience. Because when you share something like this, it shows that you actually care because you're stepping outside of standard medicine. And, you know, for me, it's a matter of sharing with the patient that this is how I show that, one, I respect you as a patient, but I love people and I want them to be well. And they know that there's, for me, it's love and being kind and saying, you know, I really care for your future. I want you to do well. I want you to thrive. And I don't want you to have to come back and see me every 3 months and have worsening diabetic numbers and increased meds. And when they hear that message that someone actually wants them to heal from, you know, a real, I feel like that's our real job as physicians, is healing. That's what went into medicine. That is very powerful. So speak those words and don't be afraid to share that message, because I think they'll be pleasantly surprised. And it's highly addictive. Like, I call it veggie crack. You know, it's, I tell people, it's like, you have to eat your vegetables so you get better, and I get my dopamine high, and I call it, you know, it's my veggie crack. So, and that's really the matter of just keep going and just keep doing it and reach out. And I'm always welcome to answer questions from colleagues. If they have any questions, reach out to me.
Wonderful. Yeah, it is a practice changing, and it is. You know, I've had more probably thank yous and more, not that you're in it for thank yous or being appreciated, but, you know, people are thankful to get better. And, you know, when they feel better, you feel better. So it really is practice changing, and, you know, you can't ever go back, you know, once you know.
No.
I think Dr. Stanzik said, you know, when I talked to her, you know, once you see the light, it's, you know, you have to stay there.
Yeah, it just keeps getting stronger and stronger. And it's funny because people go, well, you know, don't you just want to, you know, taste some cheese or do this or do that? Like, actually, you know, it's funny because every single patient that I see get better is just another nail in the coffin that is not going to happen. And, I completely understand. And that's why we launched, you know, the Healthy Human Revolution, is we really wanted to be another venue for people to understand how to do this, but we work a lot on habit formation and mindset and, you know, of course, all the technical aspects. It's easy to give knowledge of a plant-based diet. I mean, it really is not that difficult. But it's all the mental hurdles that people have to get over and the social hurdles and that, it, you know, like, how do I make this part of my regular daily routine? And, you know, they get frustrated or tired and they just give up easily. And that's why Jason lost, you had him on your pocket, said you said it was 120-pound weight loss, and Anthony's lost 160. They've both kept it off for many years. And Jason just finished a 100-mile race in Leadville. And, I mean, it's phenomenal what these plants-based diet can do for you. And so we wanted to share that. So that's what we've done there, is created a team that's pretty cool.
Well, fabulous. I really appreciate you taking time to speak with me, and I'll share your website, Healthy Human Revolution, on the show notes, as well as Doctors on Demand, so people can get in touch with you that way. You're on social media, Facebook as well. I see you doing all kinds of great things, and we'll throw them over to the Plantrition Project. And it's been a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you for taking time.
Thank you. Yeah, and please sign up for the Journal of Open Access at idadrp.org, and that's another free access to some amazing information.
Yeah, I think we're going to actually submit a paper to you because we have some really good results with reversing C-reactive protein.
Oh my goodness, it's fabulous.
Yeah, so we're trying to get things together, so we'll hopefully we can get involved.
Well, thank you so very much. We're so honored anytime anyone takes the time to help us out and let us share their information. Thank you.
All right, you have a great evening.
Hey, you too. And thank you again for reaching out.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
You bet. Bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the interview with Dr. Marbus. She's certainly a busy lady with Doctors on Demand and Healthy Human Revolution and the journal. So she's doing great things to promote plant-based nutrition in the medical community, and I commend her for that. I think it's interesting to hear different physicians' stories, and you know, we all come back to a lot of people. We're not learning this in medical school. We're learning it from the community. We're learning it as we are in practice. So, you know, sometimes people say, oh, it needs to be taught in medical school, but I think it needs to be taught once we're out of medical school, and we need to be mentored and mentor young physicians coming out of medical school to help healthy choices and healthy nutrition. Certainly, if more physicians or more teachers in medical schools were plant-based, then that lifestyle would be introduced to medical students, and you can pick the rest up. You know, it's not all that complicated. Then you can do this learning and continuing medical education after you get your medical degree. So I don't necessarily think it needs to be part of the medical school curriculum, but it needs to be part of the medical school environment, because we need to know that plant-based nutrition is a way to help people. And it certainly should be in the residency programs as part of any treatment plan for patients that that patients are educated on plant-based nutrition. So, you know, many ways, you know, with the journal coming out, you know, everybody always says, oh, if there was more research. So this is going to help get, you know, more publications, newer things. There's plenty of old information out there that this works, but it's well hidden behind a lot of pharmaceutical shiny pills. So the more this comes out, you know, the more it's going to be in people's face, and the more we do things as far as health fairs and, we'll get the word out in the community, and the more people that'll start to see the connection between plant-based nutrition and, you know, being healthy and regaining your health. So, you know, I think it's great. There's many ways to do things. You know, Dr. Marbus has an online, you know, she does her medicine, her medical practice is entirely online at this point. People are introducing this in their clinic. I still love the patient interaction and the family setting that we have in our office with our members and on our online community, that you know, we keep to grow. If you're interested in being part of our practice, please check out the website again, drdelaney.com. You can email me at Jamie, J-A-M-I, at drdelaney.com. I'll leave Dr. Marbus's information in the show notes to be able to get in touch with her as well. You know, please check it out and, you know, make the connection between plant-based nutrition. We'd love to help you stay on track. Be the healthiest that you can be for as long as you possibly can be. So get out, move your body, have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.